Hi, everybody. Good morning or good afternoon, depending on when you're listening to this podcast or watching it on YouTube. I'm really excited about having Darren Hollingsworth come on board today and actually talking to him. And I've only gotten to know Darren probably about 6, 8 months ago, but he does a lot of work in the HR world and coaching world. I'll let him talk about it a little more, but today we're here specifically to talk about Working Genius and that model. So with that, I'll just start out with So Darren, tell me a little bit about yourself and what are you actively working on now?
Yeah, so after 26 years in full-time ministry, I was leading a large staff at a local multi-site church, and I felt this real strong call to invest in faith-driven leaders by coaching them on becoming the healthiest version of themselves so that they can lead their business, their church, their nonprofit in the most healthy ways with some of the best leadership resources. So a couple of years ago, I started a little company of my own called RP3 Coaching and Renewal. And it's interesting, though, as I've been coaching others on greater self-awareness and guiding them through leadership principles and leadership practices, what I've realized about myself is that I'm not a very good entrepreneur, but I really love developing and investing in people and teams and organizations. And so I'm actually actively looking for employment somewhere within the talent development, training, HR spaces with small, medium, or larger organizations to really transform culture, transform team and individual performance.
That's great. Well, thanks for that, Darren. And yeah, definitely.
You bet.
It's good. It'll be great because, you know, our audience members, who knows? I know that networking is a key thing. So this has a good reach. So who knows? Maybe there'll be somebody out there who needs exactly what your talents are and would be blessed by that, by having you on board. So with that, let me go ahead and, because I know we're here to talk about Working Genius specifically.
Yeah.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to show the Working Genius model.
Okay.
For maybe a minute or two, but why don't you, if you can, Darren, while I'm showing it, I will just go ahead and actually let you speak about the model itself. And there we are. I think it's actually showing up now, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
So if you wouldn't mind just walking us through Working Genius. I know a little bit about the model, but I'd love to hear about it from somebody who's a subject matter expert like yourself.
Yeah, so I've been certified as a certified facilitator in the Working Genius assessment, as well as the training that I do for corporations and individuals and teams for a little over 2 years now. And I really love Working Genius because it is very practical, but it's also very simple to understand. And so there's a lot of great assessments out there, but a lot of them are pretty complicated to really dig in and understand. And so you can take this throughout every level of your organization, not only from a personal assessment standpoint, but also corporately and team-wise. And so Working Genius has been around about 3 or 4 years, and it's Patrick Lencioni's latest leadership model. He's famous for many of his books on organizational health and leadership from the Table Group. But really what it does is it allows every person to discover the types of work that inspires and fulfills each person. And so according to the model, there's 6 geniuses and every person has 2 geniuses. You'll also have 2 competencies, which are things that you're capable of doing, but they don't really fill you up or fulfill your purpose in life. And then you'll also have 2 frustrations. So those are the things that drain us. So our geniuses fulfill us. Our competencies are things that we can do, but we don't really love doing them over long periods of time. And frustrations will drain us, even if we just work in those areas for just a little bit. And so the great thing is it makes a very simple analogy called widget. And I'll walk you through what each of the geniuses are.
Okay.
So wonder, which is our first genius. This talks about these are the people who think about what could be, the possibilities. There's this idea of what else is out there. Is there a need for change? What could be done differently? And so these are people who love to, maybe I say, have a window in their office, and we would think, somebody like me who likes to get a lot of stuff done, I would look in there and see somebody staring out their window and go, they're not working. But really, they could be thinking very deeply about what's the next step for this business or for this team or a vision thing. And so they are thinking, what is the next step? Okay. And so invention, which is the second of the geniuses, these are people who generate ideas and solutions. They are people who, if somebody comes to them with a problem or a question, they're like, you know what? What about this? And what about this? And what they can just generate these ideas and be very creative about ways that they could solve problems. The third genius is the genius of discernment. And discernment, these are people that have this really great gut feel or sense, or they hear about a new initiative and they go, I know how people are going to react to that. Or they may be even looking at it financially and go, that's not really possible financially, but what we could do is tweak that idea and then we could make this more applicable. And so the fourth genius is the genius of galvanizing. And these are our motivators. These are people who inspire people to get things done and stay connected to the vision or the purpose of what they're doing and why it matters. The fifth genius is the genius of enablement. And the great thing about enablement is we couldn't get any work done if it weren't for a teammate who had the genius of enablement, because they get things going. They are doers. They love to be part of a team and come alongside and say, let's work together to accomplish something. And then our final genius is the genius of tenacity. And these are the people who are just incredible finishers. They will push it to the end. They love to mark things, check things off their list of to do. And they love to finish things because it gives them energy and fulfillment. And so once again, it's the widget model, but it's the six geniuses of wonder, invention, discernment, galvanizing, enablement, and tenacity. And with that, everybody has two geniuses, two competencies, and two frustrations. And the assessment can kind of pull that out and help every person to figure out which ones they have.
Right. Oh, that's great. So I'm going to stop the share right now, and maybe at the
Sure.
end we'll come back to it. But
Yeah.
I love the model, and so when you're looking at, because within the business that I have, HR Catalyst, we deal with smaller, lower middle market sized companies typically, and they're not small, really tiny or startup, usually 5 million to 75 million in revenue, let's say. So within those type of companies, how well do you think they understand the when you're looking at the working genius model, how well do you think they have people kind of earmarked for certain roles that they're really good at and they have a lot of passion about? Do you think it, I'm not sure if it's a percentage, or what are your, just I guess, what are your thoughts there around how well a company has people lined up, kind of the right person, right seat kind of a philosophy too?
And that's exactly what it does. But sometimes we get into that tricky space of, well, I already have a team of people and they may be underperforming. Well, we have to ask the deeper question of why. Maybe there are things in that job description that aren't in their giftings or what we would call their genius. And so they're actually working frustrated, or they're work spending most of their work in their competency. What would happen if we could, as an organizational leaders, begin to reshuffle the job task within the job descriptions to match up to everybody's genius? Well, what's going to happen is people are going to be more productive, and they're going to be more fulfilled because they are doing the things that actually gives them energy. In fact, there's a great stat from CNBC. They did a study in 2022 that revealed that 40% of the workforce is considering quitting. Now, Mark, you just think about it. If you have 40% of your employees that walked out the door today, that would leave you in quite the bind. And you would have to look very deeply at yourself and go, why? Okay, there was an issue here. But let's say they don't quit. But now you think of it from the perspective of, I've got 40% of my workforce, or the people that I'm leading, who aren't fulfilled in their job, and they're not fulfilled, and so they're thinking of quitting. So now they're not being as productive as they could be. This is the whole issue of talent, why talent retention continues to be such a big challenge for employers and HR people like yourself. What are your thoughts on that?
Right. It's a great point. I kind of go back to the correlation between what you just mentioned there, Darren, and then also employee engagement. Employee engagement, and again, the numbers, and I know them fairly well, but I may be off a couple of percentage points here and there. But about a third of the organization, about a third of the employees in any organization, and I kind of emphasize any organization. The one that looks at employee engagement every year, and they've done it for 20, 30 to 30 years, is a Gallup. So one of the largest polling agencies in the US. And over the last 20 or 25 years, the needle has barely shifted on the amount of employees who are truly engaged. It's about a third. Roughly about 53, 54% are disengaged, who are primarily there for a paycheck. So to your point, which is the natural correlation there with Working Genius, which is so great, is they're probably doing a job because that job equates to a paycheck, but they're really not using their genius and what they're truly passionate about. And so and I don't want to put myself into that bucket too, because I am much more of a natural strategic thinker. But if I have to do things that are very mundane, or very, just grind stuff out and gets down and dirty and into the weeds, I can get it done, but a lot of times it is like pulling teeth on me. It's really challenging just because I don't get a lot of passion. I'm going to be the person looking out the window, and wondering, looking at the possibilities. So, and then the last group, just to finish off the thought on engagement, then you have about 13 to 15% of the employees who are actively disengaged. And those are the ones who are poor performers. They possibly could be in the wrong job, but these are poor performers, low quality. If they're in customer service roles, they're usually upsetting customers. They're usually low performers to where the company is always trying to deal with them from a performance standpoint. And the challenge, and I had a conversation with a business owner yesterday. It's fascinating because the major irony in corporate America, or probably corporations worldwide, is we spend, if you look at the basic of the 80-20 rule, we're spending 20% of the time, we're spending 80% of the time on our 20% of low performers, instead of spending 80% of our time on the high performers and really focused on them. So, and to kind of bring this full circle back to Working Genius, I think a lot of it has to do with that there are people who are really not working on their genius or the areas they're passionate about. And corporate America has been stuck in this somewhat of an archaic model around recruiting, job descriptions, versus really focusing on something like the genius. So, yes, I don't know, a lot of stuff I threw at you there, Darren. So what are your thoughts there about how things are organized today?
Well, we're in football season here, closing out football season, and the thing that most team leaders have to recognize is that if you're on a football team, or the best coaches know how to get the most out of their players, not only from a performance standpoint, but they know how to use their players to their best talents and their best abilities. And so as a leader or a team leader or a manager or organizationally, when we can start to look at our team and recognize, well, we've had turnover in three or four positions, but we'll just hire somebody to do exactly what that person who left did. What if that's not the right fit? It's the same thing from a football analogy of you've got two offensive linemen that go down with knee injuries, and you put two more in there, and all of a sudden they don't block as well. Your offense is less productive. Why? Because we're not maximizing them to their potential for whatever their position is. And so we as leaders have got to be very good at at looking at our team, looking at our people, looking at, I guess, what you would call the puzzle pieces, and being able to reshuffle them in order to get all the work that needs to be done, and have them the most fulfilled that they can be.
Right. Oh, yeah, that's great right there. So how have you seen, because now since you've been working with the Working Genius for model for a while, how have you seen, have you actually worked with an organization where they've actually assessed people on the Working Genius and actually moved people around? And if so, what has that done from the organization, from productivity, from engagement? What have you seen there?
Yeah, so usually the first step is everybody understanding what their geniuses are. And then kind of the second step, and that's part of the team training, and even if I'm working with leaders of an organization, then we start going, okay, so what about this project requires the genius of invention? What about this project requires the genius of discernment or galvanizing? And then we start plugging the people in to kind of the widget model for every project. And when that happens, now what happens is you're making sure you're utilizing the genius of every person on the team for the specific task or work things that have to be done in order for the project to be completed. Now, would the project get completed if you had people working in their competency or frustration? Yes. But are the employees going to bring their best when they're not engaged? Probably not.
Right.
And you would rather people be doing what they are really gifted at on every project because they'll stay engaged, they'll be fulfilled, and they're going to do their best.
Right. That's great. So now let me ask you this, because I do know, being in the field for as long as I have in HR, 30 plus years now, is Working Genius, is it a system? Is it a process? Is it both of them? None of them? What are your thoughts there whenever you talk to somebody about a tool like Working Genius?
Yeah, so ultimately, it's Working Genius in the table group says that it's really 20% kind of assessment, but it's really 80% productivity. And so it's going to increase productivity because people are going to be working in their area of their genius. And so, what something as simple as if that were part of your hiring process, or if you have a team that's underperforming, or you have a team that just seems to be going through the motions, how can we generate some energy around a project? Well, let's have everybody take the assessment, understand the model, and then see where they would plug into a project doing whatever the specific tasks are, and they plug into those and they're like, I would love to be doing that, and I would love to not be doing some of the things that are in my job description. But somebody else on that team may sit there and go, oh, well, I would love to do those things as part of your job. Can we trade? And so that's how we maximize the most. So it is a tool, but it's also a work system, in that when you have a project, you would take it through all the stages of work: the ideation stage, the activation stage, and implementation stage. And really, for me, once I understood the model completely, I began to recognize, no wonder I hated brainstorming meetings when I was leading a team. I never wanted to do them. I never wanted to lead them, because I'm a TD. I love to get things done, but I also have this ability to discern things very well and listen and analyze a situation. And so that's part of activation and implementation. Ideation, the wondering about what's out there and creating and talking about ideas and filling up the whiteboard with all these thoughts and ideas where no idea is a bad idea, that gets old to me really quick. So you put me in an ideation meeting and I can hang with it for a while. But here's the cool thing. I at least know there's purpose to it because it's eventually going to come to me as a discerner. And so
Interesting.
now they bring me their great idea that was built off somebody's wonder who talked about it with the invention. And the invention person now goes, here's what we think can address this issue or address this problem. And I could be like, well, financially, we can't do it, but we could tweak it, or we could make it possibly better. Have you? And so, and then you just work it through the whole model of passing it now on to the people who are going to give it energy and passion, which are the galvanizers, and then eventually into the implementation stage of our enablement and tenacity people who are going to actually be kind of at that 1,000 to 0 feet on the ground. So there's also elevations within every stage of work.
Now, just out of curiosity, are there any businesses, are there any industries or businesses where Working Genius isn't really that good a model for? And it really would bring a lot of benefit to an employer or any employer, whether it's profit, nonprofit, a church environment. Are there any situations where you think it really would not be, this model would not be a really good model for them?
Well, I think there's applications in every business. But even if you only took it from the standpoint of, okay, Mark Mitford, what do you think you are? You are somebody who's probably a wanderer because you like to think about the possibilities of what's out there. Even and whatever your second one might be, when you know that about yourself, then you can basically design your work and design your days around your strengths, but also be able to go, so I need to hire somebody who's going to fill in for my gaps. I need to hire somebody with the geniuses that I don't have so that the team can be more successful than just me doing all of it. How does that connect with what you were asking?
It does. It really helps to shape things for me. And also I want to make sure the audience is, doing a podcast and hosting it. I'm trying to also th I'm thinking about myself personally, but also thinking about what questions might our audience ask, because this is not a live session, unfortunately, but it is fascinating. So, where do you think are there any situations where you can find that, the power of Working Genius, either it gets diluted or gets derailed or fails? Are there any situations where you've seen that it's just didn't work the way you would hope it would work and the way it should work organizationally?
Yeah, so I would say that the biggest reason that you would want or the ways that Working Genius is going to succeed is when you can align people's job descriptions to their geniuses. And so that's going to be kind of job one. But also you want to be able to, so whether that means reshuffling those job descriptions and job duties. So the second one would be leveraging the geniuses among your team on every project. And then the key to success in my mind is work the widget. And so if you will just start, hey, the problem is we're not meeting our sales goals. Okay, have your wanderers start asking why. And so as they ask why, they're going to start thinking deeply about why we're not meeting our sales goals. Okay, so then you give it to our invention people. What are some possibilities, and have them come up with it. So starting to work the widget and then bring it to your discerners. Do you think this idea would work to help our sales productivity go up? And then the galvanizers are going to rally everybody, and then your enablement and your tenacity people are the ones who are going to be out there actually completing it.
No, that makes so much sense. So with that, I know we've had a great conversation so far. We're going to just take a short break, and then we'll be coming back with Darren to finish up our conversation in just a couple of minutes. And so, Darren, again, thanks again, and we'll be back with you in just a couple of minutes. Thanks.
You want to grow your business, but people issues are getting in the way. Managing the people side of your business is complex and can feel overwhelming. Does this sound familiar? At HR Catalyst, people strategy is our business. We create and implement a people strategy with you so you can get back to growing your business. HR Catalyst was founded in 2013 with the goal of bringing the best-in-class HR practices to small and middle-market companies. We are your outsourced strategic people experts. We help you solve the people issues in your business that are slowing you down. If you have HR concerns, you can schedule a complimentary call on our website at hrcatalystconsulting.com.
So, Darren, thank you so much. This was a great first half of the conversation. So now coming into our second half of the conversation, I wanted to ask, because the target audience for this podcast and also people that I interface the most with are there, again, I think I mentioned lower middle market size companies. So companies, 50, 75, 100 people. And so in a lot of cases, thinking about the Working Genius model, they may only have in certain departments, they may only have one or two people or three people in a department, not like a Fortune 500 company where you may have thousands of people in a department. So what happens there naturally? Because people will automatically gravitate to a couple of factors to where they're actually genius in.
So
So what
if
happens when you have a disconnect there and you're just missing a couple of styles and you don't have all of the core styles of the six geniuses represented?
Yeah, so we always say that it's better to borrow a genius than to depend on a frustration or a competency. And so what might that look like? That could be as simple as if you have this organizational culture of working genius, or or people are aware of it, they're aware of what their geniuses are. But maybe, for your position as leader and owner of HR Catalyst, maybe you have to step outside of the organization, or step outside and basically say, "Hey, I know you are really good at discerning ideas. I've got these four ideas about what would make HR Catalyst more successful, and so I want you to kind of talk through that." Discern through those four ideas that I've just come up with, or to address these issues. And so it's better to borrow a genius when you can. And so whether that's somebody that you know has that genius, or it could even be within your team or within your organization, you're borrowing geniuses by taking them to lunch and going, "Hey, here's the problem. Can you come help me come up with some ideas, because you're really great at invention? And you can come up with solutions. I'm not an inventor. I like discerning what's already out there, or discerning an idea." And so, so it's always better to borrow, and you can do that in a lot of creative ways, in order for even one individual to work the whole widget themselves, just by having strategic conversations.
Yeah, that is great. That's a really good model to follow. And like you said, I think we all know people who are very similar to us, but sometimes you get the most, you have the best quality and the most detailed conversation with people who think very differently than you do. And so that could go back to the whole model of from a genius perspective. Is that also why? Because I always, and I think back to my corporate career, which again is pretty lengthy. Is that why sometimes when the example that's always brought up is when you take a salesperson who's really good at selling, and what you think the logical thing to do is, okay, well, this person's really good at sales, let's promote them to be a sales manager, sales director. Is that why in some cases, unfortunately, the great salesperson who always killed their quota every year in, year out, you put them in a sales manager or sales director, you may be talking about terminating them within a year or two, and you're just like, what in the world happened? Is that possibly, going back to the genius model, is that possibly why something like that may occur?
You're asking them to do something that may be a competency, but also could be a frustration if they're not succeeding in it. And so they probably don't have the gift of, or the genius of galvanizing, which is motivating people, helping them stay, helping those beneath them, or the people that they lead, stay connected to the vision and the purpose and the why the selling, or the why of what they're doing, matters. And so, they may be a great person at just going out there and getting it done. A lot of times our top performers will be enablement or tenacity people. Why? Because they want to go out there and get it. But you throw somebody like that into a galvanizing capacity, where they're supposed to motivate. Well, they're probably already just very self-motivated themselves, because they have the genius of tenacity. And so we want to make sure we're putting our people in the best positions for them to perform at their best and within their genius. And And the great thing about this model is you could be the CEO of a Fortune 100 company and have any of these. And so you can lead from wherever you're at, whatever your geniuses are. The key to leadership, though, I believe, is self-assessment of knowing, okay, these are what I'm good at. And so I want to surround my people with the with people who are good at what I'm not good at. Okay.
Right.
In Working Genius, we call this the gap. So if you can have a gap in your widget. So let's just say you've got a technology company that has very little people of wonder and invention.
Right.
Well, guess what? That technology company is going to get left behind really quick. Why? Because they're only going to go out there and produce what they've always produced. And technology moves so fast that you need a lot of people with wonder and invention in a technology company. Why?
Right.
Because technology turns over so quickly. I actually have a friend who works for a massive technology company and was talking to him about this. And he goes, we hire a lot of people either with wonder and invention or enablement and tenacity because it turns over so quickly. The turnover is so quickly. And so their strategy is let's just throw a bunch of programs or a bunch of things out there. We don't discern them. We don't galvanize them. We don't think about what could go wrong. And then if a few of them catch on, then we'll go back and do the process there of making those things better. Whereas, and that's just one of their strategies of how they do it. But he's like, a lot of times you get a lot of people who are frustrated. They come to him and say, why did this fail? And he's like,
right.
Well, because I'm a really good discerner and I could have discerned that idea and told you here were the pitfalls of this.
Yeah,
and you could have addressed them before you launched it. But because technology is such a rush and high turnover space, they don't do that.
Right. No, that is so interesting. Like you said, there are certain organizations, and I worked in technology for a number of years. Also, you know, a company everybody recognizes is Texas Instruments. I was there for a few years, and it was fascinating because, of course, they make, you know, microchips, and you know the microchips, these little things you can put on your fingernail, and they're the most powerful microchip, you know, compared to something 20 years ago.
Right.
But it's funny because their philosophy, which has to be every technology company, is whenever we make the next fastest microchip, that's the smallest, this and that, we have to, the next day we celebrate today, but the next day we have to figure out how to make it obsolete. We have to make it obsolete faster than everybody else because everybody, we now have a target on our back.
Yep.
And therefore every other company is, we've now set the benchmark. Then we have to go ahead and actually make that obsolete quicker than they do.
Yeah.
Or else we can easily go out of business.
Let me run through the consequences of having a gap in the widget. So if you're missing wonder, you're going to miss opportunities. If you're low on invention, then you're not going to innovate and you're probably going to end up recycling old ideas. Right? I've seen that in the church world for way too long. And discernment, if you're missing discernment, then you're not going to refine these great ideas. And so there's a great chance that they'll fail or they'll get kicked back. If you don't have galvanizing, then people are going to not be inspired. There's going to be no momentum or no excitement. If you don't have enablement, well, you just don't have the help or the team or the support to get something finished, to get something going, implemented. And then if you don't have tenacity, then how many projects are out there that are just left unfinished? Because
right.
we got busy doing something else. And so those are the gaps and the consequences when you don't utilize the widget model.
Right. And that's great because I wanted to flash it back up there again since we just showed it earlier. And it's kind of nice too. The other nice thing I really like here is that, you know, it shows that elevation, and I talk about elevation quite a bit in the work that I do. You know, that wonder is about 30,000 feet. And of course the tenacity is, and the enablement and tenacity gets down to 5,000 feet, 1,000 feet. So it's really about getting things done, whereas the ideation, the wonder, and invention are much more strategically focused.
Yes.
And that's why
And
you're
think
going
of
to have people that are very, who are very strategically oriented. And a lot of times you have people who are, the head of strategy, your CEO probably, or your CEO should be a visionary who's really focused more strategically. And
Yeah, there's one thing that I would just say is once I realized this model, it would have been if you have people who are out there who feel like they go to meetings and they never get anything done, or they're frustrated with the meetings because they feel like their meetings are not productive or the best use of their time. What this model allowed me to do was basically say, "Oh, it's a brainstorming meeting." Well, then you wonder and invention people get in the room and go over it and then come back and tell us why you started this and then and tell us what some possible solutions are. Run it through the stages of work there down the left side of the page. And when you do that, now it actually frees me from having to sit in a brainstorming meeting and being bored to death or being frustrated or being like, can we just quit talking about it and go do something? Because that's me as the tenacity person. It's like, let's quit talking about it, let's go do it. But if I know, hey, these really smart people with these giftings and geniuses were doing this, and now they're passing it to me to discern it. Now I have purpose around my work. I can discern it. And then they pass it to me to help finish it. Oh, there's purpose in there. There's fulfillment in that. I trust my team. I've leveraged my team, and I really believe it's going to solve a lot of talent retention issues, as well as create an organizational culture of trust, which is part of Lencioni's pyramid.
Yeah, that is awesome. So, yeah, this has been a great discussion. I would say my one of my last questions I wanted to ask you is if there are business owners, business leaders who are actually listening to this, kind of excited about it, what would you say are the if you were going to just list the top three reasons an organization should start using Working Genius as an assessment tool, as a recruiting, just lots of facets of the HR world they can use it in. What do you think are what are the top three reasons they should look at actually seriously implementing the tool of a Working Genius?
Yeah, I think the biggest reason is going to be organizational culture. You're going to start building a foundation of trusting your team, as well as your team is going to have greater fulfillment in what they do. So employee engagement, which is going to lessen your talent retention issues. And then it's actually a very simple model once it's kind of unpacked, and it's easy to follow. And so it's not something that everybody can kind of get lost in the weeds on. And so if you want fulfilled and productive employees, if you want an answer to your talent retention issues, and you want to create a culture that people love working at and build trust among your teams, then you should definitely look at Working Genius.
Wow, that is great. That is great. So, a couple of things. I think that was kind of a final thought, but did you have any final thoughts before I learned a little bit more about your interests?
Yeah, I will just say there is a lot of nuance to it. And so even though it is a simple model to understand, there is a lot of nuance to it. And you really can get into the nuance of who goes in what meetings and different meeting types and who should be leading the certain meetings. A lot of that comes out in the trainings, but there's also a Working Genius podcast that people can start tracking on, or even grab the book. And if you've never read a Lencioni book, he's going to tell a big long story that's very engaging, and then he's going to unpack the model at the back end. And so he's a really great fable writer.
That is great. And that is so true. I love his book. So, kind of moving on to that, ironically, wanted to have a little bit of fun with you and just also
Sure.
for our audience. So What are three books you'd recommend to our audience so that you've read them and that you've just found them really impactful? What are three recommendations you have for our audience?
Well, obviously, we just mentioned Working Genius,
Yeah.
but for me personally, just being in this space that I've been for the past 2 years, there's a book called The Peace Index from Jeremy Kubitschek. He's the
Okay.
co-founder of Giant Worldwide, and really it can unpack just a healthy mindset and healthy rhythms for you to make sure you're addressing the five drivers of peace in your own life. And so that's been very impactful to me. And then another leadership book, and that's pretty much all I read, is either leadership or spiritual health books, is Leadership Wise, Canoeing the Mountains by Todd Bolsinger. It's
Okay.
all about adaptive leadership, and he models or he uses Lewis and Clark and their expedition to explore America, basically, of how they had to adapt in their different leadership roles, the same way that we as leaders of businesses, of organizations, of nonprofits, of churches, we have to be able to adapt well to our situations we find ourselves in. So it's on adaptive leadership.
Right. Oh, that is
Yeah.
great. So, how about two podcasts that you enjoy listening to if you're a podcast listener?
Yes.
What are two recommendations there?
Yeah, I really am. Man, I love Craig Groeschel's leadership podcast and Carrie Newhoff leadership podcast. Those are two kind of giants. And then I also love the Leaders Toolkit. And so it's going to unpack a lot of the Giant Worldwide tools that I'm a leadership guide for as well.
Okay. Oh, that is
Yeah.
awesome. And last question for you is, so given, and I have no idea what your age you are, Darren, but I would say, what would you recommend if we could wind the clock backwards here? What would you tell your 16-year-old self about the maybe some things that you've learned along the way and there's some experience bases and just moving on in your life and what have you? What would you tell your 16-year-old self today?
Yeah, I'm just a little bit older than 16, but
I figured maybe a couple years.
yeah. How about lead yourself well, and you will build influence with others.
Wow.
And yeah, because as leaders, we think leadership is really not about how much authority you have or how big of a budget you have. If you are influencing others, that's leadership. And whether you can take that all the way down from a parental role to a sibling role to a job role to a volunteer role. Lead yourself well, and as you do that, that will build influence with others.
Well, that is odd. That's what I'm gonna have to remember there. So how about, because I know you mentioned earlier that you're kind of going in this transition phase, and so what about, how can people find you if they've like what they've heard, they want to talk more about
Yeah.
Working Genius, maybe get you to facilitate them through the training of it, or they want to talk to you about maybe an opportunity. How can people get in touch with you?
Yeah, they could definitely get me on LinkedIn and Darren Hollingsworth. That's Darin, the most simple way to spell Darren. In my opinion, it's the most simple way. I'm definitely on LinkedIn. I will post and I've written a lot of articles that I've posted on there with man, transparent thoughts, but also leadership and spiritual thoughts. You could definitely find me and get in touch with me through my website, rp3coaching.com. And or email me at Darren Hollingsworth and then the number one at gmail.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is awesome. Well, again, Darren, thank you so much for your time. I always love the part that I enjoy the most about doing this. Everybody I listen to and I have it on as a guest, and I've had on some guests that I've known for 10, 15, 20 years. I learned something new from doing this. So this has been a real joy for me to get to know you better,
Yes.
and look forward to staying in touch and look forward to seeing if I can help you and in any way within to find your next right adventure.
You bet. Thank you, Mark. I sure appreciate the time. I've enjoyed our time together today.
Great. Okay. Thanks so much, Darren. We'll talk soon. Bye-bye.